think I was off my game just a bit. Marlis Havard, they've been here at this church for several years, involved in our children's ministry. She works at Moore Middle School. Is that correct?
That is.
And I'm thankful that she read scripture. I'm grateful that you are here this morning in between services at 8:30 and at 9:30. During that hour, our kindergartners were in this space. It was the kindergarten tour, an annual event where they experienced the big room, because kindergartens, when they start coming to church, and if you are a kindergartner, if you are a child in the room, we are so glad you're here. We learn by being together. We learn from you as you learn from us. And so, parents, there are no distractions. I'm so thankful for your children. If you're a guest with us, glad you're here. I want to review some things we've talked about this year since Easter, and it's not insider language. This is for you too. And so since Easter, we have talked about our identity, family traits, if you will, the trellis that we are building on here in Core Worship, a trellis that's helping us build community and shape culture. We are rooted, restful, relational. And our goal is simple, that we might look more like Jesus and live more like citizens in his kingdom in this world that is constantly battering us, competing for our attention, our affection, our allegiance. And there are these three R's that help us to withstand that onslaught and beat back, overcoming this barrage. And really, these three R's, rooted, restful, relational, they help us thrive and flourish as followers of Jesus Christ, giving us a shared language as we pursue a common goal. And we've unpacked those three R's. We've had a deep dive into what it's meant to be rooted. And this morning, we're beginning a deeper dive into what it means to be relational. And as we begin these next 3 weeks, I want to ask, who in this room has a best friend? Who in this room has someone in your life that knows you so well, so deeply? What has social media done to our sense of community or our sense of connectedness? Who of us have just burned hours scrolling through social media? And who of us has put it out there, my best life, when we really know the truth about what's going on? I think every one of us can relate in some way. And this is why relational matters, because we live in a world where people are isolated, struggling with loneliness and depression, longing for true intimacy. That's why we seek to be a relational people. And we want to create an environment here at Marvin Church, here in Core Worship, where we can together pursue three key relationships: a relationship with God, a relationship with other Christians, and a relationship with not yet Christians. That's the series that we're beginning. To frame this out, we'll use table imagery, because something happens when we come to the table, when we sit down for a meal together, when we share life with one another, eating, feasting, being with each other. And this morning, our focus is on the first table, our relationship with God. In 2001, Leanne and I went to visit a friend in Australia, and we wanted to see Kate on her turf in Melbourne, Australia, before she left for the mission field in India. And about 5 hours into that flight, we left LA just after midnight on September 11, 2001. About 5 hours into that flight, another day that will live in infamy unfolded as the world watched, and we were oblivious to it all because we're flying over the ocean in this metal tube. And as we flew, our in-flight entertainment did not work. Headphones did not work. All we could do is read or sleep, and reading, meh. Sleeping, I can't sleep on a plane. And so we go, and we are making our approach to Melbourne. And the captain begins to speak over the system, and he is fumbling over his words, something fierce. And finally said, let me just read this statement that's been faxed to us. There has been a horrific tragedy in the United States today. And he went on to tell us how two planes, terrorists flying them, had hit the Twin Towers in New York City, how there was another plane that hit the Pentagon, another plane crashed in Pennsylvania as passengers heroically rushed the cockpit. The captain prepped us for the media frenzy we'd experience as we walked off the plane, and he warned us if any of our flights originated in Boston, Dulles, or Newark, authorities are going to want to speak with you. That whole plane was stunned. And we sat there in silence. Needless to say, there was a black pall put over our time down under. Our friend met us at the gate back when you could, and she whisked us away. I remember walking through that airport as NBC Nightly News is on. It's about 5 p.m. here. And Tom Brokaw's voice is like a voice from home, forever seared into our hearts. And there were a couple days during that time that we wondered, are we ever gonna get back? I mean, airlines shut down, airports closed, and finally things started to come back to life. Our friend was a great host, and we went and did touristy things. And as people heard our accent, they were very kind and gracious towards us. We were also immersed into Kate's community. And there was one evening that we had dinner at her friend's house, Sim and Caro. Sauté was on the menu. And I'd never eaten it before. And maybe I said that wrong, but peanut sauce, peanut butter makes everything better. That was the highlight, one of many highlights of the trip. But the real highlight was going to church with Kate at Baldwin Baptist Church that Sunday after 9/11. Her friend whom we'd met, Sim, was pastor. And on that particular day, we celebrated word and table, experienced the sacrament of Holy Communion. And after Sim preached, he consecrated the elements. And then we moved from where we were sitting to tables all around the room where we sat down at the table. And at each one, there was a smorgasbord of breads, different types of bread, dips and sauces, juice, as much as you wanted. And we feasted. During our time away, yes, I was an American tourist. And I was a friend of Kate. None of that mattered as much as it mattered that I was a child of God and had a seat at the table. My identity was shored up. A member of the family of God, we are the body of Christ. And being present at that table that Sunday morning, one of the most memorable communion experiences I've ever had. And it reminds me, the table is the point of our weekly gathering. It's all about Jesus. So let's set the table. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created out of nothing, spoke, and it was. And at the end of each day, God saw all that he had created, and he said, "Behold, it is good." And then on the sixth day, God created humanity, you and me, in his image, with a capacity to reason and relate, to dream and have vision, to communicate, feel deeply, created us to be in relationship with him and with each other, created us as co-creators with God and one another, stewards over all creation are we. And at the end of that day, God looked at all that he'd made, and in particular on that day, and said, "Whoa, it is very good." The crowning climax of God's creation. You and me, this is our story of origin. And on the heels of that story, sin entered in. Fellowship with God was broken. A wedge was driven between us and each other. The image of God was marred, distorted, stained, and it has tainted everything and everyone ever since. And since that time, humanity has been cowering, covering their shame, inflicting pain on one another, putting ourselves in the seat that's been reserved for God Almighty and God alone. 18th century French writer and philosopher Voltaire wrote, "God created man in his image, and we've been returning the favor ever since." That's original sin, and we come by it honestly. But when the time was right, God stepped down out of heaven in the person and work of Jesus, who gave God a face and a name. And when he lived on this earth, Matthew 4 tells us, Jesus taught in their synagogues. He proclaimed the good news of the gospel and healed every sickness and disease among the people. When the hour came, as Marlis read this morning, Jesus was reclining at the table with his disciples. It was Passover, a time of remembrance, who God is and who we are. And it's said that Jesus was eager to eat it because he wouldn't eat it again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. What was it? He was talking about the means by which people are made right with God. It was experienced once a year. Jesus was eager to eat it before he suffered because it was the last such meal of its kind, and it was about to find its fulfillment. Hebrews 10, verse 3 tells us, "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." And on down in Hebrews 10, it says, "But when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law.' And then he said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.'" Jesus set aside the first way to establish the way. And by God's will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus's body, his death and resurrection. Once, for all, forever. There in the upper room, at that Passover feast, Jesus spoke these words of institution. "This is my body given for you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you." And then later on that evening, Jesus was betrayed and he died a brutal death. The punishment that we all deserve to receive, Jesus died. And in so doing, he reconciled us to God and to each other because death could not keep him. Hell could not hold him. On the third day, he got up. Jesus was raised from the dead. And not long after that, he ascended into heaven. And when he did, because he did, Jesus went from being some one person on the outside of us to the one who lives inside of those who repent and receive. Those who realize their need, they repent, turn around, and they receive this gift of God's presence in church. That is what it means to be a Christian, to have the presence of Christ in you, bringing with him the hope of all glorious things that are to come. Is he in you? Jesus was eager and willing for all of this And for all of this, we are his body, his physical presence in the room. That's why we gather at the table week in and week out. We come to this first table of God weekly to experience and receive revelation, the gospel. And we remember and rehearse this story in such a way that it follows it out into the world. And we're talking about the gospel. For each one of us in this room, that revelation has a beginning and it is ongoing. We are saved and being saved, and for each one of us, we experience it and we take it with us, and we experience and we take. At God's table, we remember and rehearse. We remember who God is and what he's done. We remember who he has created us to be. We remember his promises, and we remember who we are in light of them, those promises, who we are in light of him. It's the table that shapes our identity as children of the Most High God, sons and daughters of the King, brothers and sisters of Christ. And I want you to know, this weekly gathering is the most important rhythm we can give ourselves to. But there are other rhythms that we experience beyond Sunday morning, rhythms of meeting with God that help keep us tethered to God. And there are other experiences we have beyond this gathering that awaken us to the reality of God, what he's doing in the world or in us, and we need to pay attention. And so let me challenge you this week, pay attention to the ways you encounter God beyond this weekly gathering. And let me caution you, because the temptation is to think, well, I don't need this. It's all about me. It's just me, myself, and I. And that could not be farther from the truth. It's not just about me. It is about we. We are the body of Christ. And it's a slippery slope to think, I can just meet with God on my terms, on my own. And that kind of stinking thinking is so convenient. It is so comfortable. And it is not belonging. At best, it's fake belonging. When I was a senior in high school, talking like a week before graduation, I got busted so hard cheating on a final exam. I mean, we schemed about stealing the teacher's answers leading up to it, spent the night at someone's house to make sure we had them down and figure out how we're going to use these. And as we were in the middle of the exam, our teacher's walking around and she says in front of the class, afterwards, I'd like to see Mark, Kevin, and Chad at my desk. Talking big gulps, and I felt like this bad. And she expressed deep disappointment in us. And sometimes that is the worst kind of punishment. And then she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want you to come by my room in the morning. And man, we had our heads tucked and tails between our legs as we left. And that next morning, she hadn't called parents. She let us know that we got zeros on the exam, but we're gonna pass, we're gonna graduate. And I have never experienced grace and kindness like I had before in that moment. And I am so embarrassed talking about it. I think I've shared this story before. My son said, I felt kind of cringy as you were talking about it. And that's true, but here's the thing. Spiritually speaking, We're all in that boat. Busted. Cheaters. Fake. We deserve death. We deserve everything that Jesus got. And he is so gracious, so compassionate towards us. There is an invitation to each one of us to be known by God in such a deep way, to belong to his family, to pull up a seat at this table. And if you are in this room just kicking the tires of faith, I don't have any of this figured out, that invitation is for you. You don't have to have it all figured out. We just have to come to the table. This invitation is to be known by God and by others, and that leads to the invitation to belong to something so much bigger than ourselves. We're talking about our identity. It doesn't matter if you're an American. Doesn't matter whose friend you are. This is the most important thing. Jesus Christ, him crucified, risen, living inside of those who repent and receive. God invites us to know and belong to him. So what are the reasons that you give for not belonging? And what is the story you keep telling yourself about why you're not welcome at this table? There is nothing you can do that would ever separate you from God's love. In fact, as we stand before him with our heads cowering, tails between our legs, his word to us, I forgive you. For everything. This morning, that's the invitation for you to be known, to belong, to pull up a seat at this table. Lord Jesus, this is our prayer. And we pray that you would have mercy on each one of us, that we might respond to your grace, that we might repent, and in all humility receive the gift of your presence. May this be the day of salvation for the first, second, third, fourth. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.